49ers.
With protection wide open is Donald and Driver. And he pitches it all, gets away, and is into the end zone. A touchdown for Driver.
Don't mess with the Donald Driver. This is the Mason Crosby Show. I'm Mitch Thundernelis. Tommy Wirtz is here as well. Our thanks again to Chris Muller in Pittsburgh for jumping on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. And jumping on the guest hotline now, great friend of show, great friend of the community, great friend of Cousin Subs, great friend of smiling, great friend of dancing, great friend of pickleball, and great friend of flag football. He is Donald Driver. Donald, thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
No, God, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I hear lots going on in your world as always. Not over there taking any breathers. So, I just want to dive right in. I know Mitch was really excited about this this girls' flag football initiative that you got going, and just kind of want to hear your side of like what's happening here in the Milwaukee area, and why you're getting involved with this girls' flag football program,
and hopefully throughout the state as well. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. You know, we really wanted to bring something to the state of Wisconsin. You know, we've done so many great things in the state, but, you know, I'm big on girls' sports. When I became the ambassador for a surge program, BSN, right, I decided that they made me the chief motivation officer for girls to empower girls in sports. And my first thing was how do I continue to do that? And so we have a big following in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we have over 17 schools playing in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Nice.
For flag football. We've had over now six girls this year going to get scholarships to go play flag football in college.
Wow.
And so we've been really trying to push this thing moving forward in Wisconsin. It took us 2 years to come up with the right team to make it work. And so I reached out to Jody at the Racines, United Racines community, and started talking about, like, hey, we got to do this. We got to make it work. And she was so excited. And so we made the big announcement about 3 months ago that we were going to launch flag football in Racine, Kenosha, and Whitefish Bay. And so we're going to start that season off this fall. We'll have a camp coming up in June or July where we're going to do a camp for girls that really want to play this game and feel like they can play this game at the next level. A lot of girls grew up, as we all know, grew up around football, especially being in Green Bay. And I think they want to play. They just didn't have the opportunity. So we're going to give them an opportunity to play right here, and hoping that with this opportunity that we can get the state sanctioned to have every girl's playing. When you got colleges that's now offering scholarships right here in the state of Wisconsin.
So cool.
Why not make the state sanctioned where now girls can just stay home and play, right? They don't have to travel outside the state. So we're hoping that WIAA can make this thing happen and make it sanctioned, and then we can move forward. And now it's just not the city of Racine, Kenosha, and Whitefish playing. It's the entire state.
All right. Now, Donald, my daughter's a sophomore at Whitefish Bay. And
yeah,
she just played 2 years of JV basketball. She's on the varsity softball team. But I said to her last night, I said, I know Donald Driver. He's bringing flag football to Whitefish Bay. And she was like, I could get into that.
There we go.
I think there's going to be some excitement with this.
Yeah, it's been exciting. I think so many people is just trying to wrap their head around it. It's just like, it's, you know, uneducated behind it, right? We play, you know, it's a big draw in Texas. It's a big draw in Oklahoma and Alabama, Florida, California. They do it already, right? Those are some of those states are already sanctioned. There's 15 states that's sanctioned right now, but we got to get everyone with NCAA making an announcement that they're going to now have flag football as a collegiate sport. Right, the LA 28 is going to be the Olympics. It's going to have flag football for girls and men and women. And so, why not start this? And so, we're gonna start early. We're gonna start moving fast. And so, we're so excited that we get to bring this to the state of Wisconsin.
That's awesome. Drive, it's starting out as will this be a club program?
No, it's going to be.
Is it actually directly in the school?
Yeah, it's directly in the high school, so it's going to be all high school girls.
Awesome.
Flag football league. Yeah, so it's gonna be good. You know, I got two daughters, so I told Christina, you know, she's at the University of St. Thomas. I told her, I'm like, you know, when your track career is over, you still can get 4 years in flag football. So
exactly.
You know, if you still want to play, and she's played a little bit, and so she's excited. My Charity, my youngest, now that you know we're doing it in Texas, she's gonna play flag football.
So cool.
it's just becoming a sport. And I think it gives our women, it gives them another platform. It gives them another opportunity,
for
right?
Sure.
Our girls get overlooked, man. And so me having two daughters, it's kind of near and dear to my heart to be able to say, hey, here's what we're going to provide. You just now have to take the resources and use them. And so my both of my daughters are going to play. And so we hoping that, you know, this not just, you know, it works out for every single person that has a daughter that see their daughter playing at the next level that may not even play. They may be the, you know, Mason, this is what we're starting to learn in this game, right? Some of these girls that are like, they're the, like the 10th person on the basketball team. They're never going to get play time, right? Mm-hmm. But they make it. And then all of a sudden they may be on a cheer team or whatever. But this could be a sport that can take them to the next level, give them another opportunity, not just to get a great education, you know, play the sport, but also get a great education.
That's right. Girl Dads Unite. Let's go.
That's right.
This is it.
Girl Dads right here. Donald, you're speaking my language. I'm going to see Randy Drew, the AD for Whitefish Bay today.
Yeah.
I'm going to bug you. I'm going to tell him we're going to pick the team tonight. We're going to start naming all the names and going through it. Oh, I cannot wait. This is awesome.
Just remember this. You can't have no more than 25 girls on those teams. So we may have to do a JV or varsity team.
Hey, that's fine. Let's go. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Well, yeah, Thunder's ready to coach if, you know, that means getting his girls on the team. He'll volunteer over there.
I've coached basketball and softball for long enough. I'm ready to jump in flag football. Let's go.
I love it.
All right, so you got this going on. You know, obviously you got all sorts of pickleball stuff going on with Pickleball Kingdom, and you got a tournament coming up this weekend. And how's your game?
It's getting better and better every day. You know, I think that's the fun part about it. You know, I don't think I ever play this game at the pro level because I don't take it that serious. I kind of like to just have fun. And then I realize, like, when I play people, they take it a little bit serious. So So I just like to go out there and have a good time and, you know, and try to make some plays and do some things different. Then when I do a little trick play, they go, oh, I never seen that. No, that was cool. I was like, okay, see that. So that gives me hope that I can still play this game.
I can imagine Mark Cass just turning into a completely different animal when he's on the pickleball court.
He is a beast out there, man.
He's all smiles and then gets on that court and is just a machine.
And this is the thing. He thinks nobody can beat him. Nobody can beat him, right? Even though he loses 11-7, and he's like, I didn't lose. I didn't lose. She don't know what she's doing. He don't know what he's doing.
Someone else messed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
like, you don't know what you're doing.
Gosh.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy.
So Donald, we got to turn our attention. It is night one of the NFL draft tonight.
Yes.
And so take us back to your experience with the NFL draft, you know, sixth rounder, right?
I wish.
Yeah, yeah. You should have been. You should have been a first rounder. Seventh rounder. What was your experience through the draft process?
Stressful, because I mean, I went to a small school, right? I didn't go to the Power Five conference schools, right? So, you know, I knew that journey was going to be a little bit difficult. But, you know, when teams call you and tell you they like you and they're going to draft you in the second, third, fourth, fifth round, you just sit there and wait, you know, and then you don't get those calls. And all of a sudden, you know, it's the seventh round and you're still just waiting. Right. And the phone just happened to ring with, you know, with the Packers having the 213 pick. And I was the last pick for the draft, you know, for them that year. And, you know, when I got the phone call from Ron, it was one of the greatest moments of my life because my life was changing, right? Regardless of where you get drafted, your life is completely changed. And then you just got to go out there and hoping that, you know, you get there, you got to make the team now. And I didn't know all that. So it's kind of like, I thought if I got drafted, I was on the team for 3 years. I signed a 3-year contract, but that's not what it is. It says a 7-round draft pack. You know, you still have to go out there and perform. And you got to go out there and perform well. If not, you're going to get cut. Yep. And I just had the pleasure of having some veterans around me like Robert Brooks, you know, Derek Mays, right, and Antonio Freeman, that kind of just walked up to me and was like, hey, you got to make this team. Just because you're a draft pick, you do not make it. And I'm like, what? Like, hold on. So I gave my signing bonus, my little $8,000 signing bonus, I gave it to my mom to kind of spread it around to the family, you know, because I was thinking of my $125,000 first-year contract. I was excited. But then he told me I had to make the team. I had to call my mom and say, hey,
hold on to that money for a second, right?
But I say this, man, it's the greatest experience of your life. I think a lot of these young guys right now, this is their dream. I mean, every kid dreams of this. And so Mason went through it as well. And so when you go through that, you just you got to embrace the moment because you're not going to get this back. But you got to go into this also knowing, you know, you're not going to be perfect. You know, you're going to make mistakes, you know, and that's what happens in training camp. And guys get down on themselves, and that's where the mental side comes into this game. And so you got to always remember that it's okay. You know, you're going to have mistakes, but it's how you make the, you know, overcome that and bounce back for the next day. So, you know, it's gratitude, man. You got to enjoy every moment.
Donald, I had a question for you. Donald Driver, Packers Hall of Famer, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. The Packers do not have a first-round pick this year because they got Micah Parsons. I think everyone's cool with that trade-off. No one's really freaking out anymore. But I wanted to ask you about the draft process as a guy who was a day three pick and leading up to that moment. How much of that is, like, how much communication did you have with a bunch of teams in the NFL before, maybe not just the Packers, but did you have, you know, an inkling like Packers are going to take me at some point? It could be anywhere from round 5 to 7, or you thought you were going to go to Pittsburgh because of how the conversations went with them. Like, how you talk about how stressful it is because you have all these feelers and you have to work still to get there when you are a late round pick. Like, how much of it did you feel confident Green Bay was going to be the team to take you eventually on draft day?
No, I didn't. I didn't have that confidence at all, right? I think the confidence came from when Kansas City called me and said, hey, brought me in, told me they're going to work me out. I worked out at Kansas City, and I thought that was the one, right? And then the 49ers called the day before, the first day of the draft, said, hey, Drive, we got to, you know, we're looking at you in the second day. That didn't happen. They called the second day. They told my dad, hey, listen, we're looking to grab him, you know, the fourth pick in the fourth round. And, I mean, the first pick in the fourth round, and that didn't happen, right? And so at that point, you know, you're like, am I good enough? You start questioning yourself, right? And yeah. So through the process, I was able to just, you know, walk through it. And then, you know, I worked out for the Packers separately. I had 18, you know, 8 scouts come down, work me out as a team. And then the Packers just happened to come down last. Alonzo Highsmith was my guy. I said, Alonzo, listen, hey, man, come in and get me. I promise you, if the Packers draft me, I promise I'll give them everything I got. And I never thought that the Packers would draft me. Never in 100 years, you know. But it happened. And I think this was where I needed to be. And so I think it's going to be the same process when you go through with the Packers this year, right? I mean, not having a first-round draft pick, you got to accept that. I think that's the key. But we got a great defensive player in that trade. But having the 52 pick in the second round, that's a great opportunity for them to figure out, like, where they need fit. And, you know, we know that they probably need another corner. You know, someone was talking about they may need a wide receiver. You know, when you let your best receiver go, Dobbs, and then you trade Wicks to Philly. I mean, it just continues to happen. And so you just never know where they're going to pick in. But, you know, defense win championships, you know. So I think if we can get another corner, maybe another edge rusher, and then down the road, you can see in those late round picks, you can probably grab another good receiver like myself that could come in and perform and, you know, and be a great resource to that team.
Man, Drive, like what you said about those veteran guys, I still remember, you know, coming to Green Bay, and, you know, obviously you're established at that time, already, you know, in the middle of a great career, but you never lost that mentality, right? It's like you go out and, like, I always remember you're like, I need to practice. Like, I want to be on that practice field, getting those reps, earning that spot all the time. And I talk about this all the time with these later round draft picks, second, third, and, you know, further down the line. It's like that's like the heart of your team, right? Like, those are the guys that are going to show up every day, give that juice, and make sure that they are earning that spot all the time. And it's funny with the Packers, at least you had a workout with them. When they called me in the sixth round, like, I had one conversation. I don't even think any representatives of the Packers came and watched me at my pro day at Colorado. So they were not on my radar at all whenever I got that phone call in the sixth round. And I'm not sure if that's the Packers' way, like, in a sense. Like, I bet everybody, most guys that get drafted by the Packers, they're like, oh, man, they didn't talk to me much. They just kind of had us on their board. They don't want anyone knowing who they're going to go get down the line. So how did you continue, though, to kind of keep and shape that mentality through the course of a career that obviously was Hall of Fame worthy? Like, what was the mindset that kind of kept driving you in that direction?
I always put myself on the bubble. Regardless, you know, I was 7, 8, 9 years in, I still put myself on the bubble because we were still drafting receivers. I mean, it's not like we weren't drafting anybody, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about, you know, when you think about all the guys that came in after, you know, during that process, I mean, we drafted Javon Walker was the first pick, right? He comes in, it's me, him, Terry Glenn, you know, and he's coming in like, hey, I'm the number one pick, and we like, oh boy, you better get behind us and, you know, wait your turn, right? And so then, you know, you're just constantly having this Robert Ferguson, Terrence Murphy, you know, it's just kept, it just kept coming in. Guys started coming in. And then all of a sudden, we just started realizing, like, you know, I was like, man, you know something? I can't watch the draft because it frustrates you, right? It's not like we don't have the weapons or we need more weapons. I just stopped watching the draft once I got drafted, I never watched the draft again. It didn't matter who they drafted, right? I was like, you got to come and take my spot. I'm not going to give it to you. All the organizations are going to have to give it to you, but I'm not going to give it to you. And I think for that what kept me driving, you know, kept my drive going. I mean, you know it, Mason. My last year in Green Bay, you know, and I think Jordy and JJ and Cobb and all those guys, they would tell you straight up. They would be like, no, we didn't take drive spot. The Packers gave it to us, you know. And I understood that. I knew that they were going in a different route. It's the same thing when your career came to a certain point, right? It's like, hey, they're going to either try to force you out of this thing where you cause havoc and they get you out of there, or you do the nice way and you just walk away and knowing that it's okay, right? And I think for me, I sat in the room with my receiver group and said, listen, there's no animosity between us. I want you guys to go out there and ball. I understand this is a business, but if it happens to me, it's going to happen to you. And it's going to be okay. And I promise you, everybody's going to be okay at the end of the day. And that's what happened. So that drive just kept going. So then when I was able to understand that, hey, my spot is not being taken, but it's being given to other guys because these are young guys that's really got great talent, and I want the best for each one of those guys, I knew I had to step away. And so it was easy for me not to have a grudge and go play for another organization, but just walk away and say, you know something? I gave this organization 14 great years, right? I owe it to the fans because in 2000, I promised the fans that I would never wear another color but the green and gold. So when you do that, you got to be loyal, right? And so I was able to walk away, even though 10 teams called me and was like, Drive, we know you're not done playing. What do you want to do? And I just said, I can't do it. I can't. I got to wear the green and gold, and I'm going to walk away knowing that I'm done and hoping that I may get a call back just in case. And so training camp came. Jordy gets hurt. I thought my phone was going to ring. I said, probably I should have called Mason and be like, Mason, what's going on up there? Tell me what's going on. Can I get in the building? But no, I was able to understand it. And so Rob was like, nope, you know, they're not going to bring you back. So
the
I was
Packers
okay
are good at breakups, you know, at times. Like they with, with the guys that have been there a long time, like, you know, same situation with my deal, right? It's like kicker's struggling. They draft a guy, and it's like, everyone's like, why didn't you come back? And it's like, well, the phone never rang. Right. I mean, it's like,
wasn't your choice.
You can't just show up and, demand that contract.
It's more like
the Coles, Mason, you know the Coles chain, man. You can't punch that 4-digit code.
Exactly. I tried. My fingerprint didn't work. Nothing worked over there.
It's more like an Irish goodbye, it sounds like.
just take off.
Calling it here. Driver, I had a question for you as far as you talked about some impactful veteran leadership for you coming into the NFL, and then you assumed that role when you were at the end of your career as well in that wide receiver room. And that's something that over the last 3 years, the Green Bay Packers, it feels like, have kind of ignored getting veterans in there. They've been the youngest team in the NFL. They've come up short now. They've been a 7 seed the last 3 years, one playoff win over that time. Is that something that you think is important in a locker room? Because we've heard Mason reference it a bunch, talking about veteran leadership and, you know, kind of establishing a culture in a clubhouse, in a locker room. And is it something that you think Green Bay just is trying something different, didn't value that in the moment? They don't want to go that direction. It's something they should improve upon. I just wanted your thought on the Packers being such a young organization over the last 3 years or so and kind of going away from getting some veterans in that locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I've always learned about the organization, they've always realized they build in-house, right? I think we've all seen that, right? They're not going to go out and chase veteran guys. It's never been that marquee. Maybe you get one or two, and I think it showed with Micah Parsons coming in, right? That was your one. So I think that's how they've always done it. You'll never see a guy. When Charles Woodson came in, we brought in Charles Woodson. And that was a niche to get us to where we need to go, and that gets to a Super Bowl. So you don't bring in 50, you know, you don't bring in 3 or 4 or 5 guys. That's just not what the organization has ever done. And I think that's what they're stuck to, and that's their guns. And again, right, it's allowed us to be successful. So now we got to figure out, like, what's going to get us over that hump, right? Being in the playoffs every year and just not reaching the full potentials. I think we all know that, you know, when Love took over, we were one play away from going back to the Super Bowl. Like, nobody would ever expect. One pick away in the rainy conditions, if one of those picks get caught, the game is over. We win, right? And so I just think it's one of those things. It's kind of just trying to climb over that hill, and you keep getting to the right at the top of it, and you just slide right on back down. And I think this is where I think now the opportunity for those guys. And so leadership, I mean, you think about the receiver room, Watson, Christian Watson is your leader.
He's got to
be. There enough time. Yep. He's got to be, right? Yep. And so you got to have that one guy that can just step up and be a voice. And so, nice. You know, love is that guy, but you need that one guy to step up and do it. And I think he can do that in the receiver room to get those receivers where they need to be.
Donald Driver with us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. All right, Drive, my sister-in-law this weekend is in a Dancing with the Stars event in Jacksonville as a fundraiser. What advice do you have for my sister-in-law, Sonny, who is in a fundraiser Dancing with the Stars event this weekend in Jacksonville?
Enjoy the moment. That's all you can do, right? You've done all the hard work. You've done the dances. You've done the fundraising. Now just enjoy the moment. And don't be, you know, you're going to make mistakes. It's going to be fine. But just enjoy the moment. And I think if she does that, she'll dance well.
Just like game day. Go out and perform. Now the fun part. All that hard work's done. Now you just get to go out there and have fun. Drive, before we let you go, I want you to just kind of throw out there like where everyone can find the information so they can go try out for these teams. And then I wanted to know, I was looking a little bit more at like professional women's flag football. Do you have any like vision or hope of getting more involved in that space, like getting to that next level? Or are you just loving trying to do this developmental side and kind of the starting off and, you know, the pathway for these young women to get involved in the sport?
Yeah, I think I just kind of love the development side of it, man. I think if time goes on and I want to get into the professional level of this thing, I probably will. But, man, just loving these girls, giving these girls an opportunity to have a bigger platform and than they ever expected, then this is where it is, right? And so for us, especially as men, you know, a lot of women don't think men support them. They're like, oh, no, they just want to be the kings on the castle. But, man, you need a lot of queens. And so for me, it's like, how do I get those queens to be where they need to be? And so I want to put them there. And so if I can create this development program, then I think it's going to go on to be a successful opportunity for them. And so, you know, Racing Kenosha and Whitefish Bay right now is going to be the one that we're kicking in this fall. And so we're going to blossom, man. We're going to blossom. And these girls, you're going to look back. And I just want to be able to say I was a small token, right, in what these women went on to accomplish. And so if I can give them an opportunity to go play college flag football, but then also get a great education, and who knows, we look back 10 years from now, one of these girls can be on that USA team, right? And so now they'd be like, wow, I came from Wisconsin. And because of Mr. Driver giving us this opportunity, but not just me, because it's going to take a village to make this happen, right?
Sure.
And so if we can get the state to approve it and sanction, just imagine how many now girls are going to play right here in the state of Wisconsin. It's not going to leave. They're going to go to Marquette, or they're going to end up going down to, you know, Madison, you know, playing for the Badgers, or they're going to stay in the local community with all the smaller schools. And so, because a lot of people don't like leaving home, you know, they want to be around their family. And so this gives them that opportunity.
Drive, this is absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time today. Thanks for all you're doing in the community, and we'll definitely catch up with you soon.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you guys for having me on.
See you this summer. Appreciate you.
That's Donald Driver. Awesome stuff he's doing. We got to get to break, but when we come back, all sorts of things still to come on the Mason Crosby Show.
Let's do it.